early, it was great.
Okay, good. Okay, good.
Please rise, the Minnesota Court of Appeals is now in session. Judge Riley, Judge Connolly, Judge Gooden, the Honorable Denise Riley presiding.
Good morning, and I see that we have Beltrami County hooked up. And is the opposing counsel, can you hear us?
Yes, I can, Your Honor.
Okay, good, and it just switched over to you, so we're good. So the next case on our calendar is in the matter of the application of Chris Bolton for a conditional use permit. It's A19-1208. You each will have 15 minutes with 5 minutes for rebuttal, and when you begin your argument, please state your name for the record because we are recording. So, appellant's counsel, relator's counsel, are you ready to begin?
Yes, Your Honors.
Let's have it. There, it just switched over. We want to be able to see you. We heard your voice but couldn't see you on the TV, and now we can. Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Your Honors. May it please the court, opposing counsel. My name is Jeremy Klinger. I represent Chris Bolton, the appellant relator in this matter. This matter is before the court for certiorari review based upon an appeal from the denial of Mr. Bolton's application for a conditional use permit for his desire to construct an RV park along Long Lake in Hubbard County, Minnesota. Based upon the legal standard that the court would be reviewing this, it's a quasi-judicial review. The standard is deferential to the county, however, it's not an absolute standard. The Hubbard County Board of Commissioners in this case did issue findings, so the court has to look at this, the appellate court in this case has to review it based upon whether or not the findings in this case were legally sufficient and whether or not there was a rational basis, facts were based upon a rational basis, meaning there was a rational basis for its decision. In this case, we maintain there was not. A little bit about the factual background of the record, Your Honor. As I stated previously, Mr. Bolton seeks to construct an RV park along in the shoreland of Long Lake in Hubbard County. Said construction is governed by the Hubbard County Shoreland Ordinance. The project is a similar variation to a similar project that he had applied for before. In this case, his project was approved by the Hubbard County Planning Commission. The Hubbard County Environmental Services in this case did not specifically oppose the project. The DNR in this case did not specifically oppose the project. They did recommend conditions. There was various public comments in this matter that was from various members of the community. Most were opposed. However, the what opposition there was raised was borne out in the conditions that Hubbard County Planning Commission was going to impose upon Mr. Bolton. The conditions were 22 in total. Those conditions by DNR that were recommended and incorporated, as well as the various other conditions recommended by the Planning Commission, Mr. Bolton was more than happy to live by. However, the Hubbard County Board of Commissioners summarily rejected those conditions and rejected Mr. Bolton's opportunity to receive a permit in total.
But as I understand it, there was a split decision by the Planning Commission, correct? It was a 3-2 decision, correct?
There was a 3-2 decision.
And there's 22 conditions, and And didn't your client indicate that there may be some issues as to his abilities to control the people at the site and to enforce those conditions or meet those conditions?
There was concern with that, Your Honor. My client did raise that at the hearing. However, there was never an issue where he said that he wouldn't abide by the conditions.
And isn't our only standard of review here is whether there's a rational basis for the decision? I mean, we can't second guess the board on what they did with this, correct?
Correct, Your Honor.
So why is the reasons given by the board not rational, I guess?
Okay, I'll get into that, Your Honor. Thank you for asking me that. As far as if you, there are two specific findings that the board made in this matter, stating why they denied it. One is the incompatibility with adjacent land uses. Now, in the board's finding, the board has stated that they felt that it was a residential area. Now, when the board had made that finding, there was no analysis given as to why they felt it was a residential area. After all, Hubbard County does not have a general zoning ordinance designating this specific area to be divided into, say, residential or commercial zones, nor did the board at the time make a determination based upon any comprehensive plan or any other factors.
Well, they said, as I read their finding at 7, they found it was a residential area because there were 48 acres of undeveloped land to the west and southwest of the property, two residential lots adjoining the subject property's north boundary, and four residential lots on the other side of the public road. So what's irrational or capricious about that finding?
Well, Your Honor, the county, basically what they stated in that finding, Your Honor, was they felt that if you read the transcript, the county had stated that they felt that that was a residential area, even though there were other RV developments or other resort developments in the area, that specifically that they did not want Bolton's RV park in this area. Well, there was no other specific, really empirical reason.
But you're not disputing that the record supports that it was surrounded by residential lots or undeveloped land.
There was undeveloped land that was undeveloped that they didn't have houses on, about 48 acres, I believe, to the east. There was a residential land to the north, and there was residential land, Pine Island, to the south that was separated by a bay. And one other thing to keep in mind in this matter is also Mr. Bolton had an option to essentially develop more of his property into Tier 1, which would have been closer to make his property closer to view of these residential areas. So essentially, he had pulled his development back to make it even less residential in nature. So there isn't even what I'm trying to say here is that this wasn't a massive residential development. The arbitrary and capricious nature of this is the county just said that this is a residential area and the county does not want this development here.
Well, actually, I mean, the issue is it compatible with the adjacent land uses. And I think, wasn't there evidence that there was even one of these houses would have been 50 feet away from the RV, one of the RV sites?
And I believe that that would have been taken care of in the conditions where they were to put in a fence or vegetative buffer in this, Your Honor.
And in, there had been a prior denial of the 2018 CUP application, which and that had been denied because of complaints regarding smoke from the campfires, noise, and unauthorized access to private property that disturbed these residential neighbors. Was that a factor that could be? I mean, that was part of the record, right? That.
It was part of the record, Your Honor, but it was not part of the findings necessarily, but there was a mitigating condition put in there that Mr. Bolton was ready to comply with that would have dealt with that issue.
Well, is it a fair statement, I mean, based on the comments, I mean, the totality of the comments, that most of the residents there were not amenable to the granting of this CPU. Am I correct?
I will concede that it is a fair statement that the residents, yes, that they were not going to be happy with the granting of the conditional use permit. However, the case law does state that the resident opposition has to be based on more than just they don't like it. It has to be based on some empirical reason. And the evidence of the record, based upon what the conditions that Mr. Bolton was going to abide by, and based upon what Mr. Bolton's plan and everything that he brought forward, I think that would override those concerns.
Well, but the issue in paragraph 7, though, is this use going to be compatible with the adjacent land uses? And apparently the decision was no, it's not compatible because there had been issues in the past and there are other issues with regard to the use of the water, the no wake requirements. So I think, is there anything irrational about that decision then, in light of that's this record?
Well, I think that I think if you're looking at the incompatibility issue with regard to, you know, it's just being residential, I'm stating that was a subjective call. Based upon, if you review the transcript, just based upon what the board felt at the time, that it was incompatible, rather than based upon any objective evidence based upon the findings, based upon the finding itself. That is the position that Mr. Bolton is taking in this matter. As far, before my time expires, I would just like to address the final point in this matter, which is the issue involving the incompatibility with the watercraft issue, which is the other finding that the county raised to deny the permit. As the court knows, the DNR made recommendations with regard to how Mr. Bolton was going to operate watercraft. He was going to abide by those conditions. There was a no wake provision, there was no beaching provision. Those conditions were going to agree to be abide by. The county essentially disregarded those conditions, and there wasn't really a rational basis for disregarding those conditions, besides speculating that Mr. Bolton would not follow those conditions. Mr. Bolton maintains that the mere speculation is not enough to essentially, is an objective basis to deny the CUP. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you. Counsel for the respondent.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. My name is Scott Anderson. I represent Hubbard County in this matter. We'll just hit a few things. First off, I don't agree that the standard of review is whether or not the findings are legally sufficient. Certainly, when we look at the findings, but the standard of review is just slightly different. Was there a legally sufficient reason given? And then part two, is there any fact in the record to support it? We are certainly looking at the findings, but we're looking at the record. That's number one. Number two, keep in mind the Planning Commission is just a recommending body. When Mr. Klinger says that they approved it, they recommended to the board what to do, nothing more than that. Our position is the record more than adequately supports the denial in this case. And I think part of the problem here is that Mr. Klinger and the appellant realtor in this case have ignored the words of the ordinance and the statute. Let's remember that Exhibit 63, which is the shoreline management ordinance, defines conditional use exactly as MinStat 394.22 does, Subdivision 7. And remember what that says. It indicates that a conditional use is one that would not be appropriate generally, but might be allowed if certain criteria are met, and they even use the definition, and it's compatible with the existing neighborhood. The compatibility standard here, number 7, there were 12 criteria we look at. All of them need to be present, and if you really look at the criteria in Section 1105, what they're asking the county to do, which is what you do for a CUP, is looking at the conditions in that particular place and determining if that use is appropriate given those existing conditions. And Judge Hooten, to answer your question, and maybe you too, Judge Riley, I think what the record reflects in Exhibit 58, the findings, and in the staff report, which I think is exhibits, I think it's 18 and 44, we've got the plaintiff kind of ignores the wording of number 7, which is adjacent properties. Is it compatible with adjacent properties? His argument, at least on paper, seemed to be contiguous. He says, well, there's a road separating these. There's a shallow, remember, this is a shallow, small bay that separates Pine Island, and if we look, there's actually, I think it says there's 20 residential sites there. I'm positive they're not all developed, but I believe it said there were...
Actually, it said 30.
It's a 20-acre island with roughly 30 residential lots.
I know they're not all developed yet, but then let's put that in context. All the board was saying is, okay, our definition says we have to look at the neighborhood. Our finding, number 7, says is it compatible with adjacent land uses. They said the land uses in the area are residential. There's no question that that's the case. Just making a determination of what the neighborhood use is not saying, oh, this is a residential district. And, but that's not the way the county ordinance works. If you look at Section 4 of Exhibit 63, all the uses are listed according to what type of land it is. They don't really have districts. And it is quite clear that, as Judge Hooten indicated, there are facts in the record. We're not in a void here. And the reason we're not in a void is right below his property, and I think if you look at Exhibits 4 and 5 and 17 and 19, those are photographs and diagrams. Right below the property, he wanted to develop into the RV park, with 14 RV sites. He owned a separate property with a house that he used as a vacation rental. So Judge Hooten, when you indicated, weren't there problems before? Yes, if you look at exhibit or record document 25 and record document 36, which is one of the huge packets of letters, we see there were problems in the past with noise, there were problems in the past with smoke from campfires, and there were problems in the past with people trespassing onto other people's property. Why? There's no beach area. There's, although this is going to be a water-oriented RV park, there's no beach area, there's no place to put in boats, there's nothing. And so we've had these problems in the past. Now, and isn't that what compatibility means? If we look at the definition of compatibility...
Mr. Anderson, I wanted to interrupt you. One argument that I found compelling by Relator was the whole riparian rights issue. And I guess my first question is, one of the grounds, well, what I thought was the major ground, that you rejected, that the county rejected the permit was in finding 12 regarding the amount of watercraft using the area. Do you agree that Mr. Bolton could put, if he didn't build the RV park and it's just his, he could put as many watercraft as he wanted to in that area?
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that, Your Honor.
Well, then if the reason is we're concerned about too many watercraft, because the RVs, I assume, you know, the thinking is, you know, they'll each bring two watercrafts because it's a big family thing. And if he can put as many as he wants, you know, equal or more than the amount of the RVs, isn't that sort of being then what are we to do? I mean, then won't there still be a hazard because it's going to be his watercraft as opposed to all the RV watercrafts?
Well, if he put in 16 watercraft, waterboats, and then he put in all his, 10 kayaks, 10 canoes, 10 paddleboards, yeah, there might be. But I think those are apples and oranges, Judge, because there's two different things here. One is, he's permitted because he has a residence, and because of riparian rights in general, he has a right to use the land. That's law that goes back for more than 100 years. But that's not what we're dealing with here. We're not dealing with a permitted use. We're dealing with a conditional use. In other words, one that he doesn't automatically get to do. And one thing that's specific about it, it's one thing to use the public resource for your personal use. It's another to say, I want to turn it into a commercial use where I get to make money off this public resource. And by the very nature of that, by law, counties under 394 are allowed to regulate that. Whereas by law, counties are not allowed to regulate the idea of how many personal watercraft you have if you're just using it for yourself. So I view those as apples and oranges, Your Honor. I don't feel the same. And the BCA case versus Douglas County that Mr. Klinger has cited several times, it has no bearing on this case whatsoever. None. I mean, number one, they granted a permit for a planned unit development residential and then said, oh, but wait, we're not going to have you below use any mooring, any docks, any buoys, anything on the water, even though these were riparian lots. And while the court noted, well, that seems like an undue restriction on riparian rights, really, if you look at the case, there was no evidence to support the finding that they made, or the condition, and the condition was challenged. We don't have that here. We clearly have a record that indicates problems with past use with just one rental, the compatibility issue. And remember, all compatible uses are able to exist together without problems or conflicts. That's a basic dictionary definition. And what the record shows is a commercial use in this area, albeit a smaller one, already has compatibility issues with what is already there. As to the suitability, that would be finding number 12. Before I leave that, I want to be clear about testify to that, too. Mr. Clear made a big point and said, well, Mr. Bolton said he'd agree to all these conditions. You know, that's not quite the case. If you really look at the record, we have three transcripts, the May, the June, and the July. Mr. Bolton in, let's see, I have them written down. Mr. Bolton says in his application itself, he doesn't think that he can actually enforce a curfew on campfires. In the transcript of the hearing in July, at page 10 and 11, he says, I don't think I'll be able to enforce quiet hours. In the transcript of the hearing on the, I think it is in July, he says, boy, this idea that the DNR wanted that there wouldn't be any use of the shoreline because it's sensitive, I don't think I'll be able to enforce and keep people from mooring their boats there, even if that's a condition. So really, here's what we're hearing from Mr. Bolton. We're hearing all these conditions. I don't think I can actually make people comply with them. And if we're certainly doing that, and what the DNR said, the DNR made a lot of comments. Exhibit 62 is their written comments. And then there's testimony from Mr. Hovland in all of these areas. This is a sensitive shoreline area that has already been damaged by Mr. Bolton illegally dredging it twice, for which he was convicted and charged with the DNR. There would be damage to the shoreline by mooring boats on it. We know that the nearest public access is 3,500 feet away. That's in the staff report, Exhibit 44. So people either have to do one of two things. On this dock that'll go between 150 and 200 feet out into the bay, they either have to carry things like kayaks, canoes, paddle boards, paddle boats, rope boats, out on the dock and try to put them in there. I don't really think that's going to happen. Or they have to go 3/4 of a mile away to do it. And knowing people, some will, some won't. Mr. Poplin testified quite clearly that there's no wake zone. I believe the June transcript, page 67, which is June 49, you have to, he says, we need to have the motors pulled up so there's no disturbance of this area because it has to revegetate. In other words, this bay is already a problem. As he said, the dock and the raft are both navigation and safety hazards. Well, if Mr. Bolton can't enforce quiet hours, can't enforce campfire curfews, can't really keep people from mooring boats on the land, and he said all that, those are his words, do we really expect him to enforce the ability of not using a propeller to get out with motorboats, or not using a propeller when you're coming in? He's basically said, well, I'll make the rules, but I can't really promise they'll be enforced. And there lies the problem. We have two findings, 7 and 12, that say, look, it's not compatible with the neighborhood. You want to put a commercial development right in the middle of this residential area, an area used for residences year-round and seasonal, and you want to use a sensitive bay already damaged and put tons of boats in it, and have conditions you're even saying you don't think you can enforce. Clearly the record supports the findings in this case. This court should affirm the decision of the county. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Klinger, any rebuttal?
Yes, Your Honor.
When you are.
Right. Thank you, Your Honor. With respect to any issues with Mr. Bolton's violations in the past, it's clear from the record that he cleared those up with DNR and Environmental Services. That's in the transcript as well. And I don't think those, because he's worked to clear those up, I don't think that those should have super bearing on what he will be able to do in the future here, Your Honors. As far as the compatibility issue, as far as being compatible with the general neighborhood, you know, I don't, the way that I view it is this type of development under a conditional use permit is conditionally allowed in this type of area pursuant to the shoreline ordinance. It's being in a very sparsely residential area. I don't understand how, as far as if we isolate that finding, how that can be justified based upon what the county found in terms of compatibility by not analyzing it further. As far as the issue with the concern about how watercraft will be used, the DNR put forth conditions that Mr. Bolton agreed to. Yes, he did state some concerns about enforcing those conditions. Mr. Bolton also understands that he has the responsibility to have those conditions enforced, otherwise his conditional use permit would be revoked. Second of all, there is no justification in terms of the availability to handle watercraft finding for there just to be a total ban on his ability to, for the watercraft issue based upon the riparian rights doctrine.
Well, you didn't, you know, I'm just looking at this number 12, and one thing they notice that this access channel is very, very shallow, it's constrained and limited, and that, you know, even though he'd built out a dock that would take up to eight boats, I mean, you're talking about the possibility of 14 different RV families using this area and using these kayaks and using even the shoreline for mooring, and that this creates some safety issues because this channel apparently is very narrow, and there may be, it may create some safety issues, particularly in light of the dock, with this, you know, the swimming dock being put out in the middle of that channel. So how I guess, what about this analysis is irrational? or it doesn't have a rational basis in the record?
Well, Your Honor, I mean, there, if, I guess the concern that I have with that analysis is if we have concerns about the safety of that, the idea that it's kind of that they have concerns, okay, it may be a safety issue. Now, when a person runs any type of resort or any type of business, there's always safety issues, depending on the layout of the particular construction. I think that that's more of a speculative type of finding that there may be safety issues involved with this, rather than based upon any empirical analysis that the county found in this regard. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. The case is submitted, and we'll have our opinion out within the statutory time frame. And that concludes the oral portion of our calendar. You will be adjourned.
Thank you.